At verse 1, Psalm 40, and it reads, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction. Anybody ever been in the pit? Out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. I love verse 3, Minister Devante. It says, he put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. You may be seated. From the scripture read, we're going to be preaching from the subject title, When You Are in the Pit. When you are in the pit. The year was 1987, and on October 14th, the nation was glued to the television screen. An 18-month-old named Jessica McClure, affectionately known as Baby Jessica, had fallen into a well in her backyard in Midland, Texas. So for 56 hours, she was trapped in this well. Can you imagine? 56 hours, over 2 days, trapped in a well. And it was actually 8 inches around, and she was 22 feet below the ground. She went from singing to crying, smiling to grimacing, jovial to distress. She was in a pit and didn't know if she was ever going to get out. So many people were on the scene trying to determine ways to get her out, because it was interesting because, again, she was 22 feet below ground in a well that was only 8 inches around. I'm pretty sure they had to figure out meticulously how to get this baby girl out. But the good news is that at the end of the story that she got out and they were able to rescue her. And actually, I looked her up in the year 2020. She is alive and well. She has a family on her of her own because she was rescued in 1987. Here it is. Many of us are in the pit, just like Baby Jessica was, and we can't see our way out. Many of us are there right now trying to figure out, how am I going to get out of this thing? We are feeling closed in, feeling surrounded, feeling claustrophobic, feeling like we're in the funk. But I stopped by to tell you this morning, again, I'm glad that you are here, is that you can get out of the pit. That's a good news. That's a hallelujah moment, is that I don't have to stay down for too long, but I can get out of the pit. So this is something that I want you to take with you for the rest of the week, because believe me, come tomorrow, Monday is going to hit you upside the face. And I need you to remember this, is that you don't have to stay in the pit. And so I need you to repeat after me. I don't have to stay in the pit. So I have 4 quick points. I usually do 3. In January, I did 2. But today, we are going to do, Kanika, 4 quick points. The first one, when you are in the pit, number 1, God hears. So if you're taking notes, that's your first point. God hears. So here it is in verse 1. Says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. David says, I was in the pit and I waited patiently. Man, Lauren, that really messed me up, because it's like, okay, he was in the pit, but then he says, I waited patiently. David was in the thick of it. He was trapped in the pit without a ladder. He was trapped in the pit with no resources, trapped in the pit without internet service, trapped in the pit without phone service. He was trapped in the pit. He waited, tolerating the delay. He waited, suffering without becoming anxious. And the question is, how many of us can actually wait? A lot of us, if we, you know, go through the drive-thru, we mad when it's like 3 minutes. We don't have the patience. But think about it. If you are in the pit, will you wait? And David says for us, he encourages us to wait. But David, then, he shows us, Josh, how to get our daddy's attention. Now, I'm not I'm not glorifying this, or I'm not saying this is a good thing, so don't follow me on this one, but I am a master of ignoring. Like, I can ignore, like, with the quickness, like, I can turn off my hearing. I can't hear you. I can ignore. Don't follow me. That's not a good thing. But I'm a master of ignoring. But it helped me with my children when they were little bitties, right? And so, you know, like any other child, when they're a toddler, they want to throw what we call the temper tantrums, right? They want to fall out. You've probably seen them in the mall or at the grocery store. You know, they all on the ground. All toddlers try to throw that. And so my children, they try to do that to me, right? But I'm a master of ignoring. And so they would throw a temper tantrum, Minister Devontae. I would look right at them, and then I would turn the other way. I'm like, nope, not here for it. You tried it. I'm not here for it. And so what happened is that they didn't try it again. Why didn't they try it again? Is because they understood, Jamie, that it didn't move me. Watch this. We have been throwing temper tantrums expecting God to hear us. We have been falling out, all in the ground, saying, God, don't you see me? And he is like, I am not moved by your temper tantrums. What activates his hearing is his word. What activates his hearing is our faith. What activates his hearing is seeing us totally resting upon the scripture's truth. That is what activates God. And our patience should position the posture of steadfastness. There's a scripture. I love this scripture. Write this scripture down. Psalm 103, verse 20. It's a good scripture because you need it, because it's going to help you as you continue. Psalm 103:20, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. That's a whole lot of words. Well, what does that mean? That means is that he is going to move only when he hears his word. You know, I've probably given this illustration before, but every time I see that scripture, it reminds me, Armani, you know, have you ever been stopped at a stoplight? You look over to the left or the right, depending on where you are. You see somebody in their car, they are jamming, and you wondering, what are they listening to? What do? You turn your knob trying to figure out, okay, is this the song they listen to? Is this the song they listening to? But you can't hear them, but they going. Here it is. That's how God is looking at us, is that our mouths are moving. We jamming. We have our arms flailing, but he can't hear us because we are not giving him his word. Only thing that is going to move him is when he hears the word. That's what it says. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. So when the word is gone forth, then that activates the angels and they come and do his word. Hear me clear, though. It's okay to cry. Because you may be saying, Minister Ebony, you don't know I'm in this pit. I got this thing going on. I'm trapped between a rock and a hard place. You okay? It's okay to cry. It's okay to vent. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to question. But at some point or another, you must speak the word. At some point or another, you have to wipe your tears. At some point or another, you got to put on your big girl pants. At some point or another, you got to put on your big boy pants, because you have to hear and speak the word. You know, we have to come to a point where we have to say, I want my daddy. And our only way I can get my daddy is if I say the word, which is his word. And we have to get to the point where we are speaking his love language. We were talking about it earlier in first service. We've heard of the five love languages, right? We know what those are. But the love language of Jesus is his word. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. There are some times that you have to get into the pit to know exactly who God is. And I'm mighty glad that God hears me and that he redeems me from my life destruction. Can I get a witness right there? Not only when you are in the pit, God hears, but secondly, God delivers. So if you're taking notes, that's your second point. God delivers. There it is in verse 2. He says, let me read from another translation. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock and established my steps. So not only was David in the pit, but he was stuck in the miry clay. So he was in the pit. He was in the pit with no resources, in the pit without tools, in the pit with no one to talk to, in the pit with nowhere to go. But then he was stuck in the miry clay. So it's like saying that I am in this mess, but it gets worse. Has anybody ever been there before? Well, it feels like every time you turn around, you say, if it's not one thing, it's another, that it's like I'm in this pit, but man, here comes something else. We have what I call Job porch moments. A Job porch moment. If you know the word, then you know what I'm talking about, but let's go there because I need you to see this, because there's many times where we feel like I'm the only one. Baby, you're not the only one. Let's look at Job, because he shows us when you have those Job porch moments. Job chapter 1, verse 13, and I'm going to speed read because I want you to get it. Job chapter 1, verse 13, it says, now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys feeding beside themselves, and the Sabians attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Look at verse 16. It says, while he was still speaking, check this out, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Uh-oh, here comes another one. Look at verse 17. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Oh my goodness. Look at verse 18. Another one. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's houses, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I have alone escaped to tell you. Has anybody ever been there before where it's like, man, here's one thing, and then when you think that you almost got it, then here comes something else? But not only if it's coming right after the other, but it feels like it's escalating, right? It's like it's getting worse on top of worse on top of worse. Anybody ever been there before? Man, where it's like, man, I don't know what your pit is. I don't even know what your miry clay is, where it feels like it's getting worse on top of worse. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a financial hardship. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a job loss. Maybe it's relationship turmoil. Maybe it's school drama. But whatever it is, despite what it looks like, because I know right now it looks bad, but despite what it looks like, I want to encourage you that help is on the way. That you can get through this thing, because help is on the way. Now, here it is. I need us to go back to Psalm chapter 40. Let's look at verse 2, because I need us to look at that verse. I need us to make a connection to that verse. It says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, right? He's in the pit, out of the miry clay. So it's like things went from worse to all the way worse. And then it says, and set my feet upon a rock and establish my steps. I was listening to Minister Devontae, Pastor Ty Tribbett. He's a pastor of Live Church. We probably know him more for his music, but he's actually now a pastor of this church in Orlando, Florida, and a few weeks ago. And he made this statement, Dania, that just stuck with me. Like, I've been like really like resonating on this statement, and it just really kind of blew my mind when I thought about it. He said, deliverance just doesn't mean to come out. It means to arrive. Many times, all we want to do is get out of something. You're like, I've been delivered. But if we look at the scripture of this one, it's an and after that. It says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Most times we shout about it. I'm excited because I got out of this thing. But then the word says, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. You know, if you've ever gotten anything off the internet, you order it, and then, you know, maybe within a day or two, you get the email that gives you your tracking number to let you know that it's on the way. If you like me, I check it like every other second because I need to know where it's at. Now it's in Florida. Now it's in Ohio. Now it's out for delivery. I'm on it. I'm like, when? Whatever I bought, I probably shouldn't have bought it anyway, but whatever I bought is coming my way. But when you finally get the communication, Jamie, about the package, it says arrived. It's been delivered, yet it's arrived. Right? The receipt of delivery lets you know that it has arrived at the destination. We get excited about the tracking. We get excited about it being out for delivery, but I need us to shout about the arrival, right? I want a yes and praise, right? We get excited about the yes, but I also want the and. It says, yes, he brought me out and he set me on the path. Yes, he brought me out and he established my steps. Yes, he brought me out and he blessed me with a new job. Yes, he brought me out and he healed my body. Yes, he brought me out and. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a yes and. I'm good with the yes, but I want a yes and so that I can go forward with my deliverance, that I want to make sure that I arrived. We want to come out so bad, right, because we're so uncomfortable. Like, I got to get out of this thing. We want to come out so bad, but we don't wait for the and. We don't wait for the and, so then we miss the arrival. We miss the directions. We miss our blessings because we're so uncomfortable that you're just trying to get your yes. But I stop by to tell you, get your yes and get your and so that you get to your full deliverance. I should get an amen right there. Is that deliverance just doesn't mean coming out. It means arrived. You need to have that and go with you all through the week that it's cool for me to come out this thing, but I need to make sure that I arrived. Not only when you are in the pit, God hears and God delivers, but thirdly, God renews. That's your third point if you're tracking with me. God renews. So we back in Psalm 40, verse 3a. Part A of the verse, so the very beginning. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. This part A of the verse gives me two meanings. Number one, David said, I have something to sing about which requires a new song. Right, that I've had some stuff going in my life that the old song that I used to sing, the old stuff, that's not going to work no more. I need a new song. Psalm 96 verses 1 and 2 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, and proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Here it is. He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. He deserves a new song. Every now and then you need to sing a new song. But here it is. The new song comes because you might have had a new problem. You wouldn't have known that he is Jehovah Jireh, your provider, if he didn't pay that unexpected bill. You wouldn't have known that he is Jehovah Shalom, your peace, if you didn't have chaos going on in your life. You wouldn't have known that he is Jehovah Rapha, your healer, if you've never been sick. You wouldn't have known that he is Jehovah Nisi, he is your banner, if you've never had to fight a battle. You wouldn't have known that he is Jehovah Shammah, that he is here if you were over there. And so it is so important that we know and understand that there is sometimes you got to have a new song. The second meaning of that verse that I see in part A is David, if you know anything about David, he was musically inclined. Like, that was his thing. Music was his thing. You know, a lot of us, we have our things. We have our passion. We have our thing. Music was David's thing. and that what he was bent toward before the pit, God renewed the fire and God renewed his vigor. And so here it is, pit moments will put the fire out in your life, right? Have you ever been in the pit and that what you got you excited before don't get you excited anymore? That when you were in the pit, you like, someone's like, oh, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. And you like, oh, man, I don't do that no more. They like, no, that's what you were known for. It's like, no, the pit moments will put out the fire. Like, it will just shut you down. The pit will mess you up. But here it is, because that God is going to renew us, that we can be able to go back and say, nope, the fire is going to start burning on the inside of me, that I am going to be renewed. That I need to tell God before I got in the pit, like, what you had me working on, God, I'm ready to do it again. Like, God, I'm ready to go again. You know, that pit had me down. That pit moment had me in a depression. That pit moment had me feeling like I didn't have purpose. I didn't have passion. But man, God, I'm out of this thing. I'm ready to go. It's like, you know, I'm on the sideline. Like, look, put me in, coach. I'm ready. Like, I'm good. I'm ready to go because you have light the fire on the inside of me. And so I want to tell you to blow the dust off that journal. Blow the dust off that resume. Blow the dust off your purpose. Blow the dust off your passion, because the Lord that we serve is that he will put some wind on you, right? Say, blow on me, God. Like, I need to keep going. The sails was going the other direction, but God, blow on me so I can keep going. Blow on me, God. I need some fresh wind. Blow on me, God. I need to go. Blow on me, God, because I want to do what you have called me to do. Like, put me in the game, coach. I'm ready. Like, what I thought I lost, God, I'm ready to go again, God. I love you that much, God, and you love me that much that you said, you know what? You've been in the pit moment, but I'm here to renew you. Like, you can still keep going. It doesn't end for you right here. You can go. It doesn't matter how old you were. Yes, God might have given you that idea when you were 21. Maybe now you're 41. You like, man, it's been 20 years. So what? God said, go ahead and do it, because I'm not going to not have you do it. Because the word says your gifts and your callings are irrevocable, which means he won't change his mind. You can be 21, 41, 61, 81. If God said do it, it's going to get done. He said, it will accomplish what he sent it out to do. And so renew me, God. I just need somebody in here to say, renew me, God. Man, you might have felt like it was over, that it's ending. It's not ending. Just renew me, God. Blow on me, God. Give me some fresh wind, because I'm ready to go. Not only when you are in the pit, God hears, God delivers, God renews, but here's your last point. God is glorified. God is glorified. 3B. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. The word transparency, Paige, brings a state of fear. That word just messes people all the way up. It's like, you want me to be transparent? Like, do you know what that's going to do to me? Like, how people going to see me, right? It's where a person is an open book. It's where a person becomes vulnerable, where it's like they're willing to show their flaws. A lot of people aren't willing to show the flaws. It's like, you know, I'm going to take off the filters. I'm going to take off the mask. And I'm willing to be transparent. Here it is. The result and the point of our pit moments are for leading someone to Christ or bringing them closer to Christ if they're already a believer. There's a scripture, Romans 8:28. I promise you, if I give anybody in here the mic, just about, you will know exactly what that scripture says. And if you good, you probably can say it even backwards, because we hear this scripture all the time. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's how the scripture is read. But when we read that scripture in our minds for some odd reason, and maybe it's just me, I don't know, but when I was reading the scripture, Minister Devante, actually last night, I was reading the scripture, and I was like, wow. And then somehow or another, God said, because I said it, Kelly, that way, but in my mind, I guess I said it another way. And God was like, that's not how the scripture is read. When we read it, we say, and I know that all things work together for my good because I love God and because I am called according to his purpose. We make that scripture personal. We do that with a lot of scriptures, which we should. We should make the word personal. But there are some times where we like make it all the way personal. And it's like, no, actually, the word is for other people. The word is for, you know, someone else, because what happens is when we do that, then, you know, we want to take the good stuff of the word that make it for us. And then the bad stuff, we like, oh, that's for them over there. Like, that ain't for me. No, it's for you too, boo. It's okay. But sometimes we want to take that scripture and make it yours. And that's what I think I was even doing for this scripture, because I was saying, and we know, but and I know that all things work together for me because I love God. And God, he straight up rebuked me last night. He was like, Ebony, that's not what that word says. It says, and we know that all things work together for good. And here it is that the pit moments will work for me, but also the pit moments will work for somebody else. We try to make it seem like, or, you know, like, okay, this going to work together for my good. Like, God, turn it around for me. And he will turn it around for you. But also, he wants to make sure that that turnaround is seen by somebody else so that they can say, man, what was that? Like, that had to be nobody but God, because I know you couldn't get yourself out of that situation. The pit moments is for you, but it's also for somebody else. Malcolm X was known for the phrase, by any means necessary. Like, by any means necessary, he was going to try to make some things happen. So what does that mean? Is that whatever you got to do, whatever it takes. And God is saying, Stacy, that to us. He is saying, by any means necessary, I'm going to get the glory. Say, by any means necessary, somebody else is going to know me because they're going to watch you. By any means necessary, I'm going to take the spotlight off you, Ebony, and I'm going to put the spotlight on me. And so it's so important that we understand that the pit is not always for you, but the pit is necessary. It hurts, but it's necessary so that God can get the glory. And that also, you know, many times we say, well, you know, I'm not patient. I can't be patient. And God is teaching me patience. He's teaching us patience because if he would get us out of it prematurely, then we will give ourselves the glory. I mean, say, man, that was me. I did that thing. Look what I did. You know, I got myself out of that situation. He's like, no, you did not. I'm going to let you sit in that for a little bit longer. Because your mind is not there. You're not mature enough. You still on milk. You're not on solid food, because this pit that you in is for not just for you. It's for somebody else. And it's so that I will get the glory. It's not about you. Stay in it for a little bit. I need you to practice patience. Patience. So that you will be able to see that it's God who gets the glory. And to be clear, we're not adding to his glory, because he's already glorious. We are just revealing his glory to somebody else. It's like, okay, well, I put the spot, have the spotlight on me, because it's all about me, and I'm going through some things, and, you know, it's like, oh, no, the spotlight is gone, and what I need to do to reveal his glory is then to put the spotlight on him. So then he is illuminated to somebody else, that he's illuminated so somebody else can see that he is Alpha and Omega. So someone else will see that he is the beginning and the end, that someone else will see that he is all that we need, that he is mighty, that he is strong, and that I am revealing his glory to someone else. So, you know, it's we get so caught up in the pit, and we get so caught up. It hurts. Don't get me wrong. I totally get it, because I've been there. I've been in some pit moments. But we want to understand that it is so that someone else will see Jesus, so that they can see our walk while we're in the pit, right? Where they can be like, man, she or he is mature in Christ. Man, their faith wasn't rattled at all. Did you see what happened to them? And they kept moving. Even if you're crying while you're moving, you're still moving. It's okay to cry, but you can keep moving. And that someone else can see, like, goodness gracious, it had nothing, but it had to do with God. I'm going to give you a personal testimony. Today is a special day, or an interesting day, is that today's the day 3 years ago that my mother went on to be with the Lord. And I was like, oh my God, like, Lord, I'm having to preach today on the day that you took my mother. And he was, well, I shouldn't say took my mother, when you brought her back home. And he was like, you're supposed to be doing what I told you to do. Walk, do your thing, that you are purpose. You are called to do what you're supposed to do, and I will give you strength to do it. So the pit moment, the bad moment that we feel, is for somebody else. So that they can see, like, oh, goodness, it had to be nothing but God, and that they strength and that their faith to keep them moving. I don't know about you, but, man, I want other people to know Christ. I don't know about you, but I want them to want him like I want him. I don't know about you, but I want them to desire God. I want them to be his, like his sons, his daughters, his children, his royal priesthood, his chosen people, right? I want other people to experience that, to experience the love and the grace and the mercy that God shows me every day. The word says his mercy is new every morning. So that means the stuff that you did yesterday, that he ain't thought about it today. That he says, you know, not that we want to mess up, because that's not a license to mess up. But if we do mess up, the next day he says, I'm giving you brand new mercy. That what you did yesterday, I ain't even thought about it, because I love you that much that I'm not even going to hang that over your head. Man, think about the people that you know. What you did yesterday, they still mad about, and they won't even talk to you no more. But the God that we serve, you did it, and he knows you did it, and you act like you didn't do it, and you keep it moving. And he's like, I love you that much that I'm not even going to worry about what you did yesterday. Man, you should like say, thank you, Jesus, because you know what you did. I know what I did, even this morning, right? And it's like, Lord, have mercy. You still love me enough to leave me here to do your work, man. That's like a hallelujah, thank you, Jesus moment. You know, I want someone to see my pit and then the transition out of the pit and for them to want the one who did it, who got me out of the pit. That they not looking at me, but they looking at God. They looking at Jesus and saying, that had to be nobody but the Lord who got you out of the pit, who got you out of that situation. Have you ever been in a situation where you like, I don't even know how, why? Like, how did I even get here? Like, it could have ended bad, but somehow or another, it ended okay. Like, it could have went another way, but somehow or another, it worked out for the good, because I love God, right? And so that's where we have to be and understand that, man, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's that he gets the glory. That's a mature believer, where you can say, I'm in this pit, but God, I know you're going to get me out of it, and I know that this is going to bring you glory. I want someone to know him in his fullness and the power of his resurrection, that they can be able to say, man, I want to know God. Like, I want to see God. I want to feel God. That's the point of our pit, is that someone else could get closer to God, or someone will know who God is. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. There's been many times where